And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Okay, Dave, the primary is over in Pennsylvania. What were the results and what do you make of it?
Well, various results. There weren't a lot of surprises on there.
First of all, did a lot of people vote?
No. You got about 27% of Democrats, 18% of Republicans. The only real...
So how does that stack up? How does that stack up?
It varies. Sometimes you only get 23%. You know, it's rare that you get 30% vote out in primaries, mm-hmm. which is why people are saying that they ought to have open primaries and things like that. I'm still not a fan of that. I think if you don't want to belong to a political party, you give up your right to vote for somebody in that party.
That's right.
And it avoids mischief. Now, the only thing I would think might work if you want to have open primaries is you have a top two runoff. So,
but then why do you need a primary for them? I mean, how's that different? You're having two general elections essentially.
Well, yeah, but you winnow down.
So, if you want to winnow it down, do ranked voting.
Well, ranked voting is the other option that you might want to have, and then you don't even have to have a
primary.
Primary. Well, yeah. You don't have to, technically you don't. But
if we're going to get that way, I'm plumping for proportional representation. I don't know that I want to discuss that right now, but I'm just saying that
that's a political science.
If you want to be democratic, if not capital D, small d, people should be represented in proportion to their position in the population. If 10% favor a certain approach to life, 10% of the representatives should favor that approach to life. That's what democracy would be, right?
Well, that's a pure democracy, but it has its faults. So, as I said in times past, you want to look like Italy or Israel, where they have to put in coalitions, and then the last one in, if things are closely divided, the tail gets to wag the dog.
That's true, but when you have a single member district, no matter how you draw the district, it's the potential for gerrymandering and for, as you say, mischief is there. And there's nothing you can do about it. Yeah. There's nothing you can do about it.
And then you have to separate the legislative votes versus the executive votes, because you can only have one executive. The legislative votes.
These are only for legislative votes. That's exactly right.
Right.
And it means, and it's in our country, it would mean just for the House, not for the Senate.
Yeah. And like I said, a couple weeks ago, there's a proposal that the House should be much larger, because each district now represents.
Which it would be if there was proportional representation.
That's a different question.
Yeah.
Okay. The thing is that the Democrats, really, everybody knows what the that Josh Shapiro was going to get renominated, and he did. And Stacey Garrity for the Republicans, she was the only one. They cleared the field for her. The only race was for lieutenant governor of the for the Republicans on there. But, that kind of sorts itself out.
Politically speaking, that's not a very important post, is it?
Generally, no.
Yeah.
It can be. Remember, it can either be a launching pad, or if something happens with the governor, as we've had in Pennsylvania a couple of times. Bob Casey, the governor, had to step aside for a while and things like that. But anyway, the big races were there's some legislative and congressional races.
Right.
And Shapiro had a split verdict on the congressional races. The hotly contested ones were one of the Philadelphia area races, Congress, District 3, which was a three-way race, and the former state party chairman, Sharif Street, was running and did not win.
And he was regarded as a shoo-in, right?
It should have been. He had the backing of the party. But the party in Philadelphia is much weaker right now.
His father had been the mayor. He was he was the leader of the Democrat, the head of the party in the state. He was a longtime state legislator. He had it all going.
Except maybe in terms of organization or momentum. You know, you had a Mondami looking candidate in Chris Robb, who Shapiro vehemently opposed, and far left candidate, and Rob won fairly easily. He got over 40% of the vote, and then the other election was in the Lehigh Valley, and that one Shapiro's backed candidate, who also happened to be backed by Bernie Sanders, Bob Brooks, firefighter, he won. He got over 40% of the vote. So those two races are decided. Locally, we had a couple of interesting races.
Now, wait a minute. The guy in Philadelphia, he'll be elected to the Congress, right?
It's the bluest district in the country.
Right. Okay. But how about Brooks in the Lehigh Valley?
Well, that's going to be a fight. But, that's been trending a little bit more democratically. Last election with the Trump wave, Susan Wilde got beat, but not by much. And there's a lot of buyer remorse. There are a lot of Hispanics down in that district in Allentown. They're not happy at all with Trump. And independents. I think Brooks is in good shape. But you can't take anything for granted.
Right.
There. Now, I wanted to get back to the local. The big contest was with the state senator in the 20th district, the two state senators, 20th and 22nd, Marty Flynn, who is the incumbent, was being challenged by a guy named Jeff Lake. And, Marty won pretty easily. He got 69%+ of the vote. We're wondering how strong he was, because there's a lot of disaffection left over from the Lackawanna County Commissioner's race and the party chairman here. And then Lisa Baker, who's your state senator, Flynn is mine. She was being one of three Republicans being challenged by candidates who were almost exclusively funded by the skill game industry out of Georgia.
Now, when you say the skill game industry, what do you mean?
Well, there's these they're almost like slot machines. They're games that purport to be skill rather than gambling, but pretty much there's not much of a difference.
Are they legal or illegal at this point?
They are currently legal. There is a case in front of the Supreme Court as to whether or not they constitute true gambling, which case they'd be illegal. But in the meantime, they're making a lot of money, and the state doesn't have any recourse on them. They have no regulations, unlike the casinos, who the casinos were backing the incumbent Republicans, because the casinos felt that the skill games had an unfair advantage. There was no age 21 requirement, and the Commonwealth didn't take the huge chunk that they take out of the casino winnings.
Are these things taxed at all?
No.
So nobody
knows where they are. They're not registered anywhere. Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. And they wanted to keep it that way.
Right. Well, what a shock.
And Shapiro wanted to wanted to tax them, and he couldn't
Right.
quite get it through, you know. So we'll see what happens.
So so those people wanted to get rid of the three senators who were for taxing them, and they failed to do so.
They failed to do so, but in two cases, it was less. It was like 55, 45, or 54, 40, 45. In one case, it was wasn't even that close. So we had that, and then we had in there were votes also in Kentucky and Georgia. Of course, the week before there was a big vote in Louisiana, and Donald Trump was able to exert his mastery over the Republicans and defeated incumbent Senator Bill Cassidy. Cassidy only got 24% of the vote. In Kentucky, another one of Trump's congressional opponents, Tom Massey, he was ousted by about 9 or 10 points.
That was the most expensive primary in the history of the United States Congress.
Right. But in both Cassidy's case and Massey's case, they've indicated that over the next 6 or 7 months, while they're still in Congress, they're not going to be rubber stamps for Trump.
Well,
Cassidy's already come out and voted against Trump on a major issue, on the war powers. And Massey, you know, he's going to keep going after him on the Epstein files. So, you know, we'll have to see on that.
Did Massey vote to stop the war in Iran?
Yes, he's not a, you know, he's one of those that
he's one of the
doesn't believe in foreign entanglements, foreign aid, and everything like that. So we have those, and in Georgia, the Republicans did okay. They and they even held on to two seats in the state Supreme Court. They have a massive. There's only one Democrat there. The Democrats were trying to cut the margin down to 6-3 and from 8-1, and didn't work. So we had that, and
do they have a runoff on the Senate side?
Well, the Democrat was John Ossoff,
right?
And he won pretty easily, and I think there's a runoff for governor down in Georgia. There were three candidates there.
But I wonder if Ostroff's position has been strengthened by whoever the Republicans chose.
Well, he's been pretty, you know, he's been in pretty good shape. He's raised a lot of money, and he seems to have, you know, momentum there. So,
well, now you got to get to the state that didn't yet vote. It's going to vote on Tuesday, and that's the biggie, Texas.
Texas. And Trump came out and he endorsed Ken Paxton, much to the chagrin of Senate Republicans.
Birds of a feather.
Yep. Corrupt people.
Corrupt sexual predators. Impeached. In Paxton's case, a Republican impeached by the Republicans.
Yeah, and he should have been thrown out, but he by I think it was only one vote.
It was one vote. That's exactly right. One vote.
Yeah. So we had that, but meanwhile, while Trump is very strong within the Republican Party, he's may have overreached on certain issues, and they. They're really, the senators particularly, were not happy over this, what everybody's calling a slush fund, for the Trump wanted to have to pay people who he said were unfairly targeted by the government. In other words, if
you mean the $1.8 billion fund. Or as he calls it, the 1776 fund.
Six fund, right.
Right. which is going to be administered by people he appoints or removes in his discretion, not yet revealed who they're going to be, appointed according to a deal whose legality is extremely dubious, signed by his personal lawyer, now the acting attorney general, and the IRS signed off on it, despite the fact that the IRS is forbidden by law from doing precisely what the deal calls for.
Well, it's not just the money. It's that they agreed to permanently refrain from auditing or pursuing any of the Trump family or Trump family's taxes.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And that's that, you know, as I said, seemed to be a bridge too far, because nobody in the Congress wants to be try to have to defend this.
Exactly. How would you defend it?
Yeah.
For one, that the chief attorney at the Department of the Treasury, who would have to sign off on every single disbursement, resigned instantly. Right?
Yeah. And on top of that, we now have the ballroom, the 1.2, or I'm sorry, the $1.2 billion ballroom that was supposed to be $200 million, then $400 million, and all exclusively paid by private donors,
just and, like the wall was paid for by the Mexican government.
Yeah, and that got taken out of the bill authorizing funds.
So what happens? We end up with a hole in the ground? That's
well, that's a question.
Even the hole in the ground. I mean, how can they continue digging it if there's no money?
Well, you just don't know how things are going to get manipulated.
How about the money for the arch?
That's another thing. This week, he got approval from his committee that only he appointed to build this.
Well, he fired everybody who was there, and then he appointed a new group.
Yeah, the architectural pursuit, but that's getting that's being litigated. And but you know, these folks don't even recognize litigation.
No.
They're going to keep doing things.
Right.
Remember, they. Remember, they were continuing to deport people, even though the court said, "Don't do it."
And they didn't. They didn't even explain why they kept doing it.
Right.
They just kept doing it.
Okay. And meanwhile.
Okay. Then we got the. Wait a second. How about the Garden of Heroes?
How about that?
Has that been approved yet?
I'm not sure.
How about the golf course? Taking over the municipal
golf course,
which is for people who are not millionaires to play golf, and turning it into a club only for millionaires.
Well, I mean, it's you got to, I hate to say give them credit, but for imagination. They come up with all these schemes. And again, it's like the fire hose effect that Steve Bannon said. There's so many things. There's something new every day. You can't focus on anything.
But one thing unites them all: it's all corrupt.
Yes,
they're not trying to do anything to benefit anybody except themselves and their friends.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
So okay. So,
now you know it's interesting that Paige Cognetti is running for Congress up here in my district on an anti-corruption theme.
Right.
Every mailer that she sends out, every email she sends out, talks about corruption, and that she is the anti-corruption candidate.
And what is Bresnahan doing about that?
What can he do about that? He's trying to gather union support, or saying he's brought things to the district, but.
Well, he did get, so he has gotten some union support. That's true.
Yes.
But
yes.
So what? You know, there's a lot of reactionary unions, and there's a lot of reactionary union leaders. So, and there always have been. The principle that the union, that the working people need a union, is not the same thing as the principle that everybody who leads a union is dedicated to the interests of the working people.
Yeah. And the one thing that the unions forget about is they may have some individual that they back who may not be anti-union himself, but will vote to keep Republicans in power, in which case no pro-union legislation will ever pass.
Exactly.
And anti-union legislation will pass.
Exactly. Exactly.
But they don't think that that through.
Well, the politicians think it through. The average person who votes for them doesn't think it through.
Right.
But really, it's up to the other side, in this case, Page,
Calcetti,
to make the point.
Yeah. Now, one thing that came out this week was the so-called autopsy that the Democrats commissioned after Kamala Harris lost.
Dead on arrival.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pathetic effort, as it looked like. And it didn't really, you know, it said, well, the Democrats lost, which everybody knew, the confidence of working people.
Right.
Came up with no solutions, no proposals about how to regain this.
Right. And they also lost the support of young people.
Yes. Now, the thing is that the Republicans have been doing such a good job, and Trump has been such a good job of turning people off, because people have said, well, we didn't vote for it to be done this way. You know, even immigration, that they that they're willing to vote against Republicans, but they're not voting for Democrats.
Right.
And Democrats need, you know, people to vote for them. You just can't be anti.
The polling shows that on every single critical issue, whether it's immigration or it's affordability, the war in Iran, name it, up to 72% of the American people oppose what Trump is doing. It ranges from a simple majority of 51% up to 20 points more, 71% opposed to what Trump is doing. And not more than in the low 30s and in the high 20s support what Trump is doing. Now, the Republicans, 80% of them support what Trump is doing. But they're a small part of the population. People have to realize that. The overwhelming bulk of the people of the country, 70% in a case like the war in Iran, oppose what Trump is doing and, in general, think he's doing a crappy job as president. That's
But the thing is, who's going to be motivated enough to come out to vote?
That's why I was interested in the primary vote, to see how many Republicans voted in our primary in Pennsylvania as against how many Democrats. And the Democrats were a million, more or less. The Republicans were 640,000, more or less, which is interesting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll just have, you know, the Republicans are going to have a lot of money. They're going to try to change the topic, but it's difficult. You know, one topic here locally is the data centers.
Well, and that's true, yeah.
And, you know, county commissioner, Democratic county commissioner, Bill Gaughan, is out there. He actually has raised money, and he's on TV calling it an emergency that we have to stop these data centers from being approved.
He's going to be speaking up in our county.
Yeah,
on this.
And
but the thing is, this is not a partisan issue, by the way. There are plenty of Republicans who oppose the data centers.
Yeah, which is one thing that Democrats can run on.
Yeah.
Because they're willing to lead on that.
Yeah.
But there are, because you can pretty much be sure that the proponents of these are lean Republican, to say the least.
Well, the leading proponents of these things are the libertarians, really, the tech guys who feel that, you know, they were born with a silver spoon in their mouths, and they have the right to run the world and the universe.
Yeah, well, yeah, this is going to be good for tech, and we don't care what happens to the people. I mean, look what's going to happen over there in Utah with Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank. They're running out of water as it is. They're going to take up all the water.
Just so our listeners know, in Utah, they approved a proposal to build a data center larger than the island of Manhattan in New York City.
Right.
I mean, there's 2 million people who live in Manhattan.
And these were just a handful of commissioners that approved that.
Right. Of course. Of course. What? And the Salt Lake is drying up. This thing is going to need millions and millions of gallons of water every single day. And God knows where the electricity will come from. But 80,000 people in the Salt Lake City vicinity have been told that they may lose their electricity, lock, stock, and barrel.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't everybody oppose that? Why would anybody support that?
Money talks, nobody walks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We have that. Talk about opposition. Whether the Democrats are willing to stand up to things, the Colorado Democratic Party stood up to their Democratic governor. And over the pardon of Tina Peters,
right.
Not the pardon, the commutation.
Commutation, right.
Yeah.
So what? He's not running for re-election. He can't run for re-election. It's good that they condemned him, but so what? It has
well,
no
it's
effect.
A warning. Yeah. Yeah, but it's a warning to others, I think. If you're a Democrat, you better act like a Democrat.
Yeah, it's right. You should you shouldn't try to make sure that the people who undermine elections don't get punished in a situation where you're the big defender of the electoral system. If the Democrats didn't believe in the electoral system, that'd be one thing. But they believe in the electoral system. So how can they support undermining it?
Yeah. Well, they have a candidate that's in a runoff down in Texas who thinks that all these places that were set up to hold immigrants should be used as detention centers for Zionists who all should be castrated. This is a Democrat running for office. She had the high vote in the preliminary poll. She has the high vote, and she's in a runoff right now.
Is she a Democrat, or is she?
Yeah, she's a
sort of a nut who's running as a Democrat.
Well, she's a Democrat, but the Republicans are trying to push her through as a candidate.
Well, I can well understand it.
They're financing her behind the scenes,
right?
Well. And by the way, I don't know if you saw that Debbie Wasserman Schultz said that she's going to run. She got gerrymandered out of her district down in Florida, but she's going to run in a predominantly black district, which has set off a internal conflict of the Democrats in Florida.
Well,
shenanigans there.
Yeah. All right. The big news next week will be Texas, right? The Texas primary will be a very important thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's keep our eye on that.
Now, we want to acknowledge, this is Memorial Day weekend.
Right.
All the people that sacrificed so that we could have a democracy.
Wait a minute, you mean the losers who got killed? Whom Trump doesn't like?
Yeah, Trump doesn't like people who got killed, on that. My father always used to refer to it by its old name, Decoration Day, because that's what started with the Civil War soldiers decorating their graves.
Mm-hmm.
But it's expanded, and unfortunately, in many years now, it's more or less just a chance to have a 3-day weekend and a cookout, and sales. But it really does have a deeper meaning, and we should acknowledge that.
We should acknowledge this. All right.
See you next week. All right.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.